Good morning. Good morning. Would you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and read along with me verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
It was 30 years ago, this time of the year, spring of 1988. We were in Israel. We were traveling down Route 90 on a tour bus going to the Jordan to be baptized. We were very excited. Unexpectedly, our guide, pointing to the right, said, "Look, deer." Three deer were running in an open space, and just as suddenly, the deer stopped and down their heads went. They had come to a watering hole. The guide shouted, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for thee, O God." It was a thrilling experience. There is little that so drives man or beast as does hunger and thirst. My grandson Noah and I like to watch those wild animal shows where thirsty wildebeest nervously make their way down to the riverbank to drink in those croc-infested waters. On other occasions, the wildebeest hunger drives them to migrate through such treacherous waters. Some poor wildebeests lose their lives, and it's on that account that we watch the show. We say that is the original crock pot right there. Though there is great danger, their hunger and thirst drives them on. And mankind also. Man goes to incredible lengths to have his hunger and thirst satisfied. Due to drought and famine, entire civilizations have picked up and moved on. Wars have been fought for food and water. Even in our United States, we hear of people going to court over water rights. Without food and water, we die. While physical hunger and thirst are important to the life of our physical body, much more is spiritual hunger and thirst important to the life of our relationship with God. How wise of God to teach us of our spiritual need through such a real and vivid illustration as hunger and thirst. Who here has never been hungry or thirsty? As God made us for himself, our souls hunger and thirst for him, and will never be satisfied until we come to him. While there are innumerable things for which fallen man hungers and thirsts, all possible satisfactions are temporary, they are fleeting, and they leave us wanting. And of these, none satisfy the soul. But the one who spiritually hungers and thirsts after righteousness are the blessed of God, for he satisfies the very longing of their soul. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is the fourth beatitude which Christ teaches in his Sermon on the Mount. By the first beatitude, Jesus teaches us that it is the poor in spirit, that is those who recognize their total depravity, who then cast themselves on God's mercy, who are the blessed of God, for God grants them his kingdom. By the second beatitude, our teacher Jesus teaches us that it is those who mourn for their sin who are the blessed of God, for God himself comforts them by his Holy Spirit and with the forgiveness he provides through the sacrifice of his Son Jesus. By the third beatitude, our Savior Jesus teaches us that it is the gentle in spirit, that is the meek and lowly, who are the blessed of God, for he says they will inherit the earth. As the first three Beatitudes express man's absolute need for God, it is the comprehension of that need, then, that leads us to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Thus, Jesus says, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let's talk again about that word blessed. You've got three more weeks to hear about that word blessed, all right? To be blessed is to be the blessed of God. To be blessed is to be more than merely humanly happy. It is to be divinely content, satisfied, at peace with God, filled with a deep inner calm that abides even as the storms of life assail. This blessedness is a delight in the Father, a rest in Christ, a joy in the Holy Spirit. It so wells up within our soul that we can sincerely sing, it is well with my soul. It brings us to a place of trust that when all is against us, we confess, if God is for me, who can stand against me? It is a submission to the will of God where bowing low, he lifts us high. It is in entrusting ourselves to God where His Spirit works within us, and we can truly confess, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. It is a confessing, not of a hopeful wish, but of a blessed assurance that says, my God causes all things to work together for good, the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, and I love Him, and I'm called for His purpose, and whatever He works is for my good. This is a bright and shining blessedness God grants those who are poor in spirit, who mourn their sin, who are gentle, meek, and lowly, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Again, our merciful Jesus employs terms that every man, woman, and child can identify with. We know what it is to hunger and thirst, yet, if we're really going to be honest with this text, it is with high probability that few of us, if any of us, have ever physically hungered and thirsted to the degree that the Lord speaks of here. Consider the daily life of those to whom Christ first spoke these words. Most of them had to scrape out a daily existence. As the scripture commanded, it was important that the employer pay the employee a daily wage, for they literally lived hand to mouth day by day. They didn't have enough for the next day. For the people to have water, someone would oftentimes have to spend many hours each day going to some far-off well to draw that water. The late James Montgomery Boyce wrote of Christ's contemporary saying, in the ancient world, men often knew hunger. Wages were low if they existed at all. Unless men were of the aristocracy. Anyway, that word. Unless they were of royalty, they seldom grew fat on the fruit of honest labor. Many starved. Moreover, in a desert country where the sun was scorching and sand and windstorms were frequent, parching the land, thirst was man's constant companion. To such a world, hunger meant the hunger of a starving man, and thirst that of a man who was about to die without water. As Christ speaks of this kind of hunger and thirst, He speaks of the intensity of a hunger of a starving man and the desperate thirst of a man literally dying of thirst. This spiritual hunger and thirst is of the intensity that brings the soul to desperately cry out, give me Jesus or I die. It is of the intensity that King David voiced in the 63rd Psalm. O God, Thou art my God. I shall seek Thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh yearns for Thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This kind of spiritual hunger and thirst is demonstrated by Moses in Exodus 33, where he pled with God to teach him His ways, to go before Him, to be with Him, that he might find favor in His sight. It is this kind of spiritual hunger and thirst that brought Moses to cry out to God, I pray Thee, show me Thy glory. This kind of spiritual hunger and thirst is illustrated by Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who from afar came to Jesus and bowed down before Him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. This spiritual hunger and thirst is wonderfully illustrated by the woman who had the incurable hemorrhage. With crowds pressing against Jesus, she pushed through, saying, if I only touch His garment, I will be well. It is vividly illustrated by the two blind men who followed Jesus and were desperately crying out, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us, Son of David. This spiritual hunger and thirst is beautifully illustrated by the story of the prodigal, of which John Darby wrote, to be hungry is not enough. I must be really starving to know what is in God's heart toward me. When the prodigal was hungry, he went to feed on the husks. But when he was starving, he turned to his father. One more illustration of the intensity of this spiritual hunger and thirst. It's seen in Jesus, in the men, when Jesus walked with them on the road to Emmaus. The men were mourning the crucifixion of Christ, but after Christ spoke to them and revealed Himself to them, they said, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us? The spiritual hunger and thirst for righteousness of which Christ speaks is of a nature that it is a desire that burns within the soul that we long for Christ. Where comes this hunger and thirst? Let me say that this spiritual hunger and thirst cannot be conjured up by fallen man. While all have an emptiness that longs to be satisfied, it is only after the regeneration of the Holy Spirit that one will hunger and thirst here as Christ speaks of. Galatians 4:4-6 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" In other words, it was the work of God within them by which Moses, David, Jairus, the woman, the blind man, the prodigal, and the men traveling to Emmaus came to such a holy desire. God was working in them. If you would hunger and thirst like this, first you must be born again. You must come into a saving relationship with Christ. First, the chains of other desires, the desires of this world, must be broken so that you will crave this righteousness. Where can I come to such a hunger and thirst for righteousness unless I realize I am poor in spirit, and until I mourn over my sin and I come before God meek and lowly? Oh God, I pray, if I walk 10,000 miles, if I crawl on my hands and knees up 10,000 steps, if I give all my goods to the poor, if I lay down my life still, how will I come to this heavenly hunger and thirst except you, O God, work it in me? O Lord, my God, I cry out to you and you alone. I come to you poor in spirit. I come to you mourning my sin. I approach your throne as one meek and lowly. Work this in me, O Lord, and Lord, work this in us. Because of your salvation, by the indwelling work of your Holy Spirit, work this in us. Create in us a raging appetite for your righteousness. Make us to long for your holiness. Make your spirit to cry out loudly, boldly, fervently, Abba, Father. In this holy hunger for righteousness, let us not neglect the word, but let us open up God's holy word and feast upon it. In this holy thirst for righteousness, let us no longer forget to call upon the Lord's name, but let us pray that we will pray all the more calling upon his name. In a holy hunger for righteousness, let us no longer refuse to glorify God when we don't understand him, but let us understand that he is always holy, he is always just, he is always righteous, and that we can always praise his name because he's always worthy. In this holy thirst for righteousness, let us quit seeking earthly things, material things, ease and comfort, but let our desires ascend to heaven where Christ is, and let us seek his righteousness. Instead of spending a few moments in prayer asking Jesus to bless us, let's go higher and spend much time blessing the name of Jesus. Then we will be the blessed of God. We ask for such base things when in Christ there are heavenly things. There are blessednesses that money cannot buy, that are truly righteous gifts coming down from the Father of lights. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is of first importance that we hunger and thirst after righteousness, for Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What is this righteousness? What is this righteousness of which we must hunger and thirst? In the original, the word translated righteousness has the definite article. It could well be translated, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after the righteousness," who hunger after the righteousness. The righteousness refers to that only righteousness which is true and pure. It is the righteousness of God. It is not a righteousness of our own, but is that righteousness which is found in God, for he is the righteous one. Isaiah 45:21-25. The Lord says, "There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say to me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. To hunger and thirst after the righteousness is to hunger after God. It is to hunger after Christ. For Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. It is Jesus, the righteous one of God, who made purification for sins. Jeremiah 23:5-6 foretold, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. He will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. To hunger and thirst after righteousness is to hunger and thirst after Christ. A great error of the Jewish people was that they sought to establish a righteousness of their own. Paul wrote Romans 10:2-4. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. Indeed, they did. They had a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You can seek to have a righteousness of your own, but you'll never get it. Our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. The apostle also wrote 2 Corinthians 5:20-21, as though God were entreating through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As Paul explained in Philippians 3, we do not have a righteousness of our own derived from the law. No, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But for us who trust in Christ, we have a righteousness imputed us, credited us. It is that righteousness which comes to us from God on the basis of faith in Christ. Again, as Paul explained in 1 Corinthians 1, it is by God's doing that we who believe are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those who hunger and thirst for Christ and have come to believe in him are those who are justified by God as Christ's righteousness is credited to them. But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. For there is salvation and there is sanctification which follows. Without a long lesson in the Greek, I simply will say that the righteousness we are told to seek here is a total righteousness. It is all the righteousness of God. We who are saved are to pursue Christ's righteous sanctification. We who are adopted into God's household are now to live like the children of God. Having been granted his kingdom, we are to live as citizens of his kingdom. So this hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not a temporal thing. It is not until we come to Christ. But having come to Christ, it is to be a constant hungering and thirsting that we, by which we cry out, more of God, I want more of God. Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We are to be like God. How will we come to be like God unless we hunger and thirst for righteousness? For God is righteous. This hungering and thirsting can be illustrated by a child who so admires his father that he wants to walk in his father's shoes. We've all seen the little children getting their daddy's big shoes. This child so admires his father, he wants to walk in his father's shoes. He wants to work along with his father. He wants to spend time with his father. He wants to be like his father. He wants to be pleasing to his father. That is a child who is hungering and thirsting to be like his father. Child of God, I want to ask you today, do you hunger and thirst after Christ? Truly believing in him, do you now want to follow after him? Are you following in the steps of Jesus, who is the exact representation of the Father's nature? This hungering and thirsting is expressed in the hymn, "More About Jesus Would I Know." More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. A longing, a burning, an intense desire to have more of Christ. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is a miracle of God. For in this constant hungering and thirsting for righteousness, God also provides a constant satisfaction for our soul. The child who so admires his father, who longs to spend time with him, who tries to walk in his shoes, who wants to be pleasing to his father, is ongoingly satisfied as he spends time with his father and becomes more like his father and pleases his father. As his desire is there, so is the fulfillment. As you hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ, you will be satisfied by his saving grace. And being saved, as you hunger and thirst for Christ, your righteousness, you will be satisfied by his sanctifying grace. And as you hunger and thirst for your righteous Savior and Lord, you will be satisfied, for the day is coming when you will see him face to face. When Moses pled with God, saying, "I pray thee, show me thy glory," there God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. And with God's protective hand shielding him, the glory of God passed by Moses. Moses was satisfied. And Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and entreated him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." Jesus then went to his house. You remember the story. Jairus, as he was coming to the house, was told that his daughter had died and that he shouldn't trouble Jesus anymore. Nevertheless, Jesus entered the room where the child was, and taking the little girl by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl rose and began to walk. Jairus was satisfied. When the woman with the incurable hemorrhage pressed through the crowds to get to Jesus, saying, "If only I touch his garment, I will be well." When she touched him, Jesus turned and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I tell you, she was satisfied. When the two blind men who followed Jesus cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David," Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "Be it done to you according to your faith." And their eyes were open. Those two men were satisfied. When the starving prodigal returned to his father's house repentant, his father felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the prodigal son said to the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and they began to be merry. I tell you, that son was satisfied, and that father was satisfied in satisfying his son. Of the men with whom Christ spoke as they walked the road to Emmaus, were they not satisfied? They saw the risen Lord. Hungering and thirsting after Christ, the righteous one, is always met with God-granted satisfaction. As Psalm 107:9 says, they who seek the Lord will not want of any good thing. And Jeremiah 31:14 says, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. And Jesus said, John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. The positive of that is, whoever believes in him will be satisfied. And the scripture says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How blessed of God then are those who hunger and thirst after Christ and his righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. And Lord, we confess that we are poor in spirit. We were born with a sin nature. And we have demonstrated that in our life. Lord, we recognize that we cannot come before you except that Christ has made the way. We come before you meek and lowly, not worthy of your attention. We come before you mourning our sin. God, we confess that we have sinned and we have been a sinful people. And so we ask, O Father, that you would forgive us. Lord, let us hunger and thirst after your righteousness. Moreover, Lord, teach us to hunger and thirst after Christ, your righteous one. Lord, that we would have a longing for you. That each day we would get up and say, more of Jesus, more of Jesus. I want more of you, O Lord, my God. And Lord, it would drive us to open up the pages of your word and that we would read intently. Lord, that it would drive us to spend time in prayer with you. Not just asking for all our needs, but, O God, crying out to you, blessing your holy name, giving you the thanks that you deserve, showing you that true worship. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you by your Spirit will do a work in each one who hears this teaching. Lord, that if this teaching is of you, if I have spoken what is true of you, Lord, that we would hunger and thirst after your righteousness. And Lord, as we hunger and thirst, you would fill us and we would be satisfied. Let us not look for satisfaction in the things of this world. But Lord, may we set our sights above where Christ is seated at your right hand. And Lord, may we desire the high things, the holy things, the heavenly things. O God, may we desire you. And we know, Lord, by your word, you have promised a blessed satisfaction. May we be, O Lord, above all people, a people who are satisfied in you. I ask these things in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.